USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Before boarding Air Force One and heading to Ohio, President Trump updates us on the trade deal that's being worked out between the United States and China.
President Xi is a friend of mine. The deal is coming along nicely. We have our top representatives going there this weekend to further the deal. But no, we're taking in billions and billions of dollars right now in tariff money. And for a period of time, that will stay.
The Fed Reserve is holding interest rates steady.
Our policy rate is in the range of neutral. The economy is growing at about trend. Inflation's close to target. Unemployment's under 3%. It's a great time for us to be patient and watch and wait and see how things evolve.
Those are the words of Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Although economic activity has slowed a little bit, the labor market remains strong. Your final numbers on Wall Street for this Wednesday, the Dow lost 141 points to close at 25,745. This is USA Radio News.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck in no time. So you can haul gravel, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. And now get a 1 Series for just $99 a month at your nearest participating John Deere dealer. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Search John Deere 1 Series for more. 0% annual percentage rate. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Nebraska seems to be the state that was hit the hardest by the flooding in the Midwest. Reports are there could be $1 billion worth of agricultural losses due to the floods. Doug Elvers is a hog farmer out in Fremont, Nebraska. He tells CBS News he lost just about everything.
We probably lost right at 700 head.
How many do you think you've been able to save?
14.
Regarding the future, though, Elvers is optimistic.
A lot of hard work now. Start all over, and hopefully within a year we'll be
able to sell
hogs
again.
A new FAA administrator is in the works. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the details.
President Trump has announced he intends to nominate Steve Dixon to be the next administrator. If confirmed, Dixon would take over the agency at a time of heightened scrutiny with an increasing number of investigations. He's a former fighter pilot, a former Delta captain, and a one-time airline executive. The Senate will still have to confirm him.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why we offer tools to give you a deeper sense of the people behind the paper, like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Increase your visibility to great candidates with a free sponsored job upgrade on your first job posting at Indeed.com/promo. The sponsored job upgrade is a $50 sponsored job credit. Users are charged once the credit is spent or expires. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
President Trump has made some strong comments regarding the Democratic Party, calling them anti-Israel and anti-Jewish. This after a House vote that was broadly a resolution that condemned hate speech, as opposed to condemning anti-Semitic remarks that were made by a few Democrats. How much are people in Israel, though, paying attention to U.S. politics and what's going on in our House of Representatives? I had a chance to catch up with Maddie Friedman. He's author of a book titled Spies of No Country, Secret Lives at the Birth of Israel. And one of the questions I asked him was how much the average Israeli pays attention to American politics.
The average Israeli doesn't really get the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Most of the Israeli political spectrum is, and all the big red flag issues for Americans, is Democrat. I mean, we have state health care, and we have pretty tight gun control, and all the issues that Americans like to fight about. Almost the entire Israeli electorate would be in the Democratic Party. Israelis don't understand that. They don't really understand the way issues break down in the United States. I think Israelis understand that, for whatever reason, the current American president, Donald Trump, is very supportive of Israel. And that's basically what an average Israeli voter gets. Does the American president have our back or not? They sense that President Trump does have Israel's back, and that makes him kind of a popular character over here, even though I think people aren't really informed about the nuances of American policy.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Stuckey Family Pharmacy wants to be your partner in wellness.
Pre-packaging is just one of the services that sets Stuckey Family Pharmacy apart. If you take several medications, vitamins, or supplements each day, it can get confusing. With pre-packaging, all your pills will be organized by day and time. Just rip off the pack and you're set. Ask about the free pre-packaging next time you stop by Stuckey Family Pharmacy.
Stuckey Family Pharmacy, your partner in wellness. Off Telegraph near Kohl's or at StuckeyFamilyPharmacy.com.
Hey, this is Steve with Garage Doors Only. Did you know that each year over 10,000 people are hurt or injured attempting to repair their own garage door? At Garage Doors Only, our team of professionals can safely repair or replace your garage door or motor. Our business is family owned and operated, and we service all of Southern Utah and the Mesquite area. Don't be a statistic. Call the professionals at Garage Doors Only, 435-868-1200.
Do not listen to this show. The truth can be scary. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Many years ago, our client was the Beechinet Packing Company. We made a research and found out that the American public ate very light breakfasts of coffee, maybe a roll, and orange juice. We went to our physician. We asked the physician, after telling him why we were talking to him, would he be willing, at no cost, to write to 5,000 physicians. We carried out a letter to 5,000 physicians. Obviously, all of them concurred that a heavy breakfast was better for the health of the American people than a light breakfast. That was publicized in the newspapers. Newspapers throughout the country had headlines saying 4,500 physicians urge heavy breakfast in order to improve health of American people. Many of them stated that bacon and eggs should be embodied with the breakfast, and as a result, the sale of bacon went up. And I still have a letter from Bartlett Arkell, president of Beechinet Packing Company, telling me so.
Scary, right? The power of marketing, the power of suggestion, power of persuasion, especially when you use bought and sold scientists to get us to change our entire diet. That was Eddie Bernays back in the day. He was the ultra marketeer. He found out how to get us to embrace World War One, and in World War Two, he found out how he could get women to smoke. He found out all he had to do was portray it in a certain way, and you get some bought and sold scientists when a certain company wants to start selling a certain product, and lo and behold, that's what happens. It's so fascinating to me, the study of us, the study of behavior, the study of what we allow ourselves to do. I have Susan here. Oh, by the way, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. And Brad Meltzer, the author of The First Conspiracy about George Washington, how they wanted to take him out.
Yeah.
He's going to be fantastic. He's a great author. He's had so many bestsellers. He's been on about every show, everything you can imagine, every platform. He's fantastic. He's coming on the show Friday. Susan, welcome. Susan Reeve, going down the rabbit hole a little bit and talking about some of these things that don't hit the headlines.
Yes.
So appreciate you. Where do you want to start?
Well, we are talking about behavior, and so I wanted to talk about that because Trump just retweeted something, and people have been freaking out because he retweeted a TSA, well, mother took a video of a TSA pat-down of her autistic son, and this happened in 2017. It just got reposted, circulating on Twitter. Trump retweeted it and said, this is not right, because the pat-down went on for like 2 minutes. It was more like a mauling.
Yeah.
Well, she had complained originally, and TSA wrote her a very condescending letter that said, none of us like seeing our family members,
but we're going to do it anyway.
Pat down. Yes. And in other words, we expect you to watch it anyway.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, and she felt helpless. I guess she could have taken him out of there. But I thought this is a much bigger issue that mm-hmm. we are expected to stand by and watch the government do things to family members or put us through things. And it just brought it to mind recently when I went to the DMV with a relative who was required to get an ID. And we were filling out this form, and it said, were you a veteran? No. And then it said, were you honorably discharged from the military? And so I left it blank because I just answered, are you a veteran? And when we talked to the woman at the desk, she said, oh, you know, you have to answer that. I said, why? He's not a veteran. She said, I know. Just put no. I said, if you answer no to the question, have you been honorably discharged? It looks like you have been dishonorably discharged. And yeah, right? And right. I was forced to, well, I was helping him. It was an elderly relative to fill that in. And I said, this isn't right. I looked at her and she said, we know, meaning we all know these forms are bad. We know they're confusing. There were confusing questions. The right, circles right. weren't in the right place. The lines weren't lined up. It was kind of really, I felt oppressed. I thought, if you want to feel oppressed, this is where you have to go.
You're a rat in a maze.
Yes. Yeah. And you need the cheese, but you don't want to have to keep going. So I thought, you know what? This is, in a way, a bystander effect. So we remember the bystander effect. Mm-hmm. And what Rudy Giuliani also did in New York City with his broken window initiative, meaning if you saw a broken window, it tended to create more broken windows. Crime would increase in that neighborhood unless the window was fixed. So he said, let's focus on some of these smaller problems, pick up the garbage, fix the windows, and then things mm-hmm. will not escalate.
Right.
But we are really letting the government escalate. And so I think we need to kind of turn that broken window approach towards our own government. Mm-hmm. When we see very small things like this, take action and right. complain, which I did do.
Nice.
And wrote to my local representative and just said, have you looked at this form lately? Do you see these problems? And I listed them. And, you know, he said, no, actually, I haven't noticed. Nobody's paying attention to this. And I said, really, what makes this immoral is that it isn't just me being stressed out by doing this and confused. It's multiplied by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people right. who are trying to fill out the form. So it wasn't just that one autistic boy.
Yeah.
It's the combined trauma of all these people.
Yeah. Yeah. And being felt up at the airport. Super fun.
Yes.
Yeah. We wouldn't let a stranger do this to us, yet we put up with it. We deal with it because we want to fly.
Yes. Yes. And so I actually made a complaint once years ago, right after 9/11, to the TSA. Well, through my senators, who mm-hmm. I couldn't find, they wouldn't call me back. And it was because I felt I had been manhandled at the TSA and sure. not treated respectfully. And so it made me ask myself in this recent scenario, why aren't we demanding that the government treat us respectfully and not oppress us and set healthy boundaries? That's what I like to think. Healthy boundaries with mm-hmm. our government.
Yeah.
You may not treat me this way. This isn't healthy for me.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, you would think. I mean, they're putting in all of the eye scanners at the airports.
Yes.
And violating us in so many ways, privacy. I mean, everything you could imagine. And why did we not stand up and say no to the TSA? Why did we not say, I'm sorry. That is abuse. That yeah. is abuse.
Well, and I think they always dangle that sword of Damocles yeah. over us that this is going to prevent a terror attack.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have
yeah.
it. Now, if I went to a restaurant and they said, we have to strip search you because we have rats in our kitchen, we can't figure out how they're getting in. You know, that's not my problem. You are supposed to be yeah. figuring this out. That's yeah. why we hired you, right?
Yeah.
Figure it out without molesting
not
me.
Not accepting
yes.
our constitutionally, it was supposed to be government protected, natural rights
yes.
are violated. But that's where we go. We start to accept that we have to allow those things to be violated
yes.
in order to have to deal with quote unquote safety.
Yes.
And it isn't true.
No. And it's a process of humiliation. And mm-hmm. I think that the government has this, what I think of it as a missing gene. So, you know, when a person has a missing gene, they have all sorts of health uh-huh. problems. But government has a missing gene, and that is right. the market correction. They don't have a market correction gene. So we have to take a different approach and take on these problems one by one, even if they're a small problem. We can't any longer tolerate putting up with it. Pretty soon they have a standing in these TSA lines. Yep. They're going to have a standing in food lines. Why not? Why not? Right?
Yeah.
They don't have any problem with us standing in lines. In fact, when you go to a hotel will apologize. We apologize that we're undergoing in construction. Please accept our apology. That should be the sign at the front of TSA.
Yeah.
And Trump, this is what Trump's unique talent is. He has an ability to look at a situation and see what isn't right and what needs to be fixed. That's mm-hmm. not right. Look how stressful that was for that boy.
Right.
That's not right.
Right.
And so instead of putting up with stuff, can you imagine a billionaire saying, you know, the air conditioning is broken in my room mm-hmm. and I'm just going to put up with it for a day or two. They keep giving me excuses. No way.
Yeah.
He has a zero tolerance.
If you really look at it, have you seen the data where it showed that that women over the age of 70 were the ones that were bringing something on the airplane that could cause a bomb? No. Did you see the huge report that came out that said about all the autistic kids that would come on an airplane with that could cause something to happen to that airplane?
No.
See, they continuously go after these people and they go, but it's all in good safety.
Yeah.
They don't have numbers to back it up. They don't have, and that wouldn't even be right either because it's still a violation of our rights. But what I'm saying is we put up with the fact there's no data.
Yeah.
There is no evidence. Yeah. There is no evidence that this has stopped numerous things. They say it has, but they won't tell you.
Well, actually, when they do the testing and have people who are TSA people go through, mm-hmm. they get through with all sorts of contraband.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so mad when I flew recently because they made me throw out some hand cream that I bought in a too big container. And mm-hmm. I thought, I could have bought two of those that would have equaled the same amount exactly. Mm-hmm. And they would not have made me throw out the two of those because they were in. And I think this is ludicrous and I'm putting up with it.
Yeah.
So do not put up with things. Write letters, mm-hmm. complain and say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to try and do something. At
right.
least try,
yeah.
because nobody else is. You know, nobody else is sitting at the DMV looking around saying, this form is crazy and I'm not going to take it anymore. Right? I'm not going to take that
anymore. It reminds me of the guy that went after the EPA because they came to his office and they wanted to come in and he said, no, you don't have a warrant.
Yeah.
And it cost him a lot of money, yes.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? He changed the overreach.
See?
He changed it. It cost him a ton, but it was worth it to him to change it.
Yeah.
Coming in without a warrant.
The one person who will stand at the top mm-hmm. of a wave and say stop is the dangerous person. So I guess to the DMV, I will be that, slightly dangerous person. But
oh, boy. Well, I love that. And just a couple of notes, as the rabbit hole would say. Lisa Page, is she all that they say she is? Does she go by a different name? Is she part of the Iranian government, which is kind of interesting? There's some speculation on such.
Yeah.
Also the media not pointing out what happened in Nigeria to all the murdering of all the Christians, but yet they went off on the New Zealand thing.
Yeah.
The picking and choosing of stories.
Yes.
What's behind some of these stories?
Right.
We have to ask better questions.
We do. And we have to hold all life as mm-hmm. valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And when the media picks and choose, there's always a reason. There's always something they're getting out of it. Make sure we, you know, are always on top of that. And who are these people and why do they end up in the news? And is there more about them? Do we ever ask those questions? Do we ever say, well, geez, Lisa Page, why is she the center?
Yeah.
Why is she at the center of all this controversy? You know, who is this gal that lied and lied and lied and was part of this affair? Who is she?
Yeah.
We don't ask.
No.
Is she Monica Witt? You know, is she this other person? Yeah, look at the photos. You tell me. There's so much that we need to start thinking outside the box, looking at differently, not just taking what we're spoon-fed.
Yes, asking questions.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. I have a question for you when I come back.
In business for over 35 years, the Zion Eye Institute has grown into the largest and most comprehensive eye center in Southern Utah, continually striving to be the best and always looking for new ways to better take care of their patients. With the experience and expertise to cover every area of eye care, their specialists use only the most advanced technologies and state-of-the-art equipment. You can count on each of their specialists being board certified and fellowship trained to handle everything from the simplest to the most complex cases, which means there's no need to travel to Salt Lake City or Las Vegas for specialized eye care. Just one of the many reasons the Zion Eye Institute was named one of the top 50 eye surgery centers in the United States and is the number one eye care provider for Medicare patients in the state of Utah. With four convenient locations, scheduling an appointment in St. George, Cedar City, and Mesquite is easy. Just call 656-2020, 656-2020, or online at zioneye.com. Zion Eye Institute, Southern Utah's premier eye care center.
Hi, I'm Dr. Plum. I recently attended a continuing education course where the presenter asked a room full of dental professionals how many of us had flossed the night before. Only about half the attendees raised their hands. I learned that knowledge may not be the best motivator. So what will motivate you to start working toward that healthy, beautiful smile? A special anniversary or a new relationship? Maybe an upcoming reunion or a child who looks to you as an example. Whatever inspires you to go to the dentist, I hope I see you at Plum Dental. Check us out at plumdental.com.
Cache Valley Bank's a community bank serving all of Utah. We draw from the adventurous spirit that first brought early mountain men and trappers to Cache Valley. Like Cache Valley, every community in Utah has a rich heritage, a history full of grit, hard work, and determination. Those adventures continue with the families and businesses that are carrying Utah into a future still bright with opportunity. We all have mountains to climb. Those mountains call, we'll be here. Cache Valley Bank. Mountains await. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Camping World 7th Annual Open House is here. March 22nd and 23rd only at Camping World in St. George. Enjoy family entertainment,
raffles,
prizes,
and huge discounts on new RVs.
This is your opportunity to save huge on your next RV. Plus, enjoy a free lunch catered by Lonnie Boys Barbecue from 11 to 1 during our biggest event of the year. It all happens at Camping World 7th Annual Open House, March 22nd and 23rd on Hilton Drive at Camping World in St. George.
Hi, it's Justin from the Mattress Store in Washington, next to Best Buy. And guess who walked in today? Carl Lamar.
Hey, Justin, I need a new mattress. The one I got just ain't cutting it for me anymore. I was test resting beds at your Bloomington store. You know where that's at, in Bloomington, next to Walmart. And I fell in love with the Tempur-Pedic. You know which one I chose?
The ProAdapt Hybrid by Tempur-Pedic.
How did you know? I look like a hybrid kind of guy, don't I?
I thought it was the perfect fit for you. The hybrid could be the perfect fit for you, too.
Stop by the Mattress Store today, because remember, nobody beats a mattress store. No. Buddy.
This is Dr. Howard, founder and formulator of Balance of Nature. We're changing America one life at a time.
I've probably been on it 2 years now, and it's been, honestly, a godsend. After you're on it for a while, you tend to forget the aches and pains and things that was going on in your body and your life before you started taking Balance of Nature. I get up, I go up and down the stairs, no pain. Hey, you know what? Thank goodness for Balance of Nature.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by using discount code CANYON. The price of fruits and vegetables is going up. Call now to see how you can lock in your price of fruits and vegetables for an entire year and get free shipping on every order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code CANYON.
At newbybuickgmc.com, your next car is just a click away. Avoid the hassle of the car lot shuffle at newbybuickgmc.com. You can easily search cars and trucks by make, model, and feature. Check out the complete lineup of 2019 GMCs and Buicks. Right now, you can get a savings of over $11,000 off MSRP on 2019 GMC 1500 trucks. And get special deals on GMC Acadias, heavy-duty Duramax diesel trucks, and Buick LaCrosse. All of them include manufacturer deals like select cash and bonus cash in addition to the already low newbie price. Call today and ask for me, Todd Johnson, and I will make your first car payment up to $500. You heard right. In addition to all the great deals and rebates newbie has to offer, I am going to make your first car payment for you.
Shop online for your car anywhere you are. Go to newbiebuickgmc.com for specials and daily updates. Experience car buying the newbie way at newbiebuickgmc.com today. And don't forget, Todd Johnson is making your first car payment.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back. What a fun show today. I think in discussing so many important things that I hope America starts to understand. This is the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Daly spelled like Valley, so simple. katedalyradio.com, and you can get the podcast. Susan's going to hang out in studio. Hello. And I wanted to share with you, which kind of goes along so perfectly with what Melissa and what Susan had to say today, which is always interesting part of this show, is how it always works out. So this is interesting. I had written this because I was going to actually do this as an op-ed. Yeah. And I hadn't gotten around to putting it in anywhere. Let me say this. This piece is, it's interesting. I watched a movie. The movie was, of course, you guys all remember, you've got, this movie was about Cheney, and this one just came out, right? Mm-hmm. And the lead character was saying how Satan influenced him, right? And I get it. Hollywood wants to take on these people, and they're the only people they'll demonize are these people, not their own, not Hillary, not the Bill, not the Obama, but it has to be a conservative. I will agree with them that I think Cheney is rather diabolical. I think he is a special kind of evil, that he was all about power in himself, and so was his wife, and so is his wife still to this day. They're still given a voice today because they are very deep state, and people don't realize that. So you have to point out the bad characters on both sides if you're going to be real honest. So I was watching this movie, and they were demonizing. I get it, because I there was a lot I couldn't disagree with that they were saying. Especially when it came to the Iraq War, especially when it comes to the Afghanistan War. And by the way, I have a lot of information on how we got to the Afghanistan War that nobody ever talks about, and how they legalized us going in NATO. Very interesting show. I'll have to do that show very, very soon. But it's not easy for a conservative to say this conservative is evil. And truly, we all know that both sides can be very evil. And so I was watching this movie, and what struck me is that I spend a lot of time exposing evil. I spend a lot of time of my time, my personal time, reading and getting to the bottom of stories. And many people think that the corruption in America always resides in D.C., mm-hmm. that it's very polarized and resides there, and all the evil sort of captured in this one place, and that it's easy to say it's over there. Yeah. It's someone else. It is the problem, their collective problem in D.C. And it isn't the problem. They also say that right now you're being sold right now that contempt is a problem. Contempt between the two sides. This is the biggest problem we have in America. That is not the biggest problem. The biggest problem we have is a truth problem.
Yeah.
We have a truth problem. We have a propaganda problem. We have a responsibility problem, which is exactly what we brought up today. And most definitely, we have a character problem.
Yeah.
Because the government is always a representation of the people. It's who we put forth in office is usually a kind of a capsule of who we are as a people at that point in time. So I look at the Lynches and the Rumsfeld and the McCain and the Hillary and the Bush and the Obama and the Cheney, and they are a very thick, they're a group that reside in sort of the thick of the swamp, right? And they wield a great deal of power. They can make decisions. When Cheney decided that we were going to go into Iraq long before we ever did, and to justify that, okay, because they truly wanted that war. Just read the PNAC, and then try and disagree with me. They had already outlined that we were going to go in. They already outlined what they wanted.
It was a plan.
They already had things already sort of decided, okay? And they had to start conjuring up information to go in, to make it look justifiable to the American people. And when that happened, so that decision is made, and that there are several people that can make a very diabolical decision, a decision that goes against
us morally, that goes against everything that the American people would want, that we would ever desire to do. And they can do it in the name of government because they've been elected. Yeah. Okay? That's what's called the first decision, in my mind. That is the first decision. They sit in a room. You don't even know they're making this decision. Years before we went into Iraq, you did not know that they were making this decision. They had this plan, and they used 9/11 as the caveat to do it. So those people sitting in that office that day, deciding this, and then putting together that PNAC to say that we needed this event, and this was what the next 20 years were going to look like for military budgets and everything else, they did that on their own. That's the first decision. The second decision, though, is the most important. It is more important than the first decision because the second decision involves you and I. And you and I have to be the cogs in the wheel that make that first decision happen. If they declared a war or a military action tomorrow and nobody showed up for it, nobody showed for it. We all said, no, I'm sorry. You're going into what country and why? That's not good enough. That's not a good enough reason. You can't sell us on emotion anymore. We're not going. Could those diabolical plans actually come to fruition? They could not. Unless you and I, the cogs in the wheel, carry it out in volume. The second decision is the decision that is the most important decision that we make as individuals that make up the result of what diabolical people want. And so I think it's so important to realize that when we play a part in something, when it is our job, how many times I have that great clip from that movie, just doing my job, just doing my job. Yeah. A bill can't become a bill, a law on its own. It has a lot of people in that system to get that bill where it needs to go, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people in these think tanks write the material, pass it off. It takes the politician to sign off on it. It takes the staff,
the donors, the staff
who was told to read it. It takes the people that had to sit there and craft it, knowing they're going against liberty, knowing they're going against freedom. Yeah. Knowingly, naively so, whatever reason you want to come up with. But the problem is that these people do this. And they all played a part. And then afterwards they go, yeah, we probably knew that wasn't great, but we did it.
Yeah.
But why are they doing it? Why are we doing it? Do you remember when I interviewed the gal whose husband was 20-year military, had won the award of like the best military person?
Trainer,
the best trainer. I mean, we're talking award after award after award for great, outstanding service in all of his tours. And the FBI showed up at his door, guns drawn, because of some complaints of hearsay from some of the people in his squad, some newbies. They showed up. They put their kids in the street in their underwear for hours on end, waiting for him to come home.
His eight-year-old.
Eight-year-old, humiliating the kids, terrifying the kids, guns drawn. Remember Roger Stone and the swamp? Swamp team coming out of the swamp. Really? Yeah. Roger Stone? I think one agent going to the house could have handled Roger Stone.
Oh, and they had the Navy SEALs behind the house with the aquatic officers.
Yes. Okay. What if the order came down? And I'm not talking about, I understand going with an order. I understand that in that moment, this is a very tricky conversation because there are some things I can understand. But when you're standing there, armed to the teeth, and you're standing in the street guarding an eight-year-old boy, not guarding, terrorizing an eight-year-old boy who's in his underwear, who was forced to stand in the street in front of all their neighbors because you were sent as a team of 70 agents to go get one guy, okay? You have to ask yourself, even if you're a parent, is this okay?
Yeah.
Is this right? Look at what I'm doing right now. Yeah. I have to question my role in this, and I have to be a part of something so egregious, and I'm willing to be a part of it because I have a mortgage and a car payment.
Yeah.
Is our character now the equivalent of mortgage and car payment?
Yeah.
Because we seem to use that as the excuse I have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. I'll have a car payment. Mm-hmm. We exercise zero faith. We really do. Mm-hmm. We exercise zero faith, and we go,
I have to come up with that mortgage and car payment on my own. So, I got to do the job. I got to do something unconstitutional. I have to be part of something unconstitutional. Hey, it's just my little part. I mean, others were doing it too.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a whole group.
There's so many excuses. And the reason I want to bring this up is, how many times are we going to do this? How many excuses can we come up with that's worth the content of our character?
Yeah.
That is worth us saying, well, it's the mortgage. What if you exercised faith and said, oh, hey, God, you know, I have this situation. I want to walk away from doing this unconstitutional thing against somebody's freedom. I want to walk away. This isn't right, whatever I'm doing. Can you help me with that? Because I have to walk away, and I have to just kind of hopefully put myself in your hands to figure this out, but I can't go through with this. I can't stand in a street armed to the teeth with an 8-year-old in his underwear crying and saying to that little kid, I'm just doing my damn job.
Yeah.
Are we going to do that? Is that who we are? People always ask me, you know, American citizens won't go to other doors to take guns. Really? Really? Do you really believe that? Because they have a mortgage and a car payment, you know, it might be worth their character to do that because they have to make that mortgage. They can't lose their job. How many times are we going to ask ourselves, what is our character worth? And if we can recognize that we're a part of something, even a small part of something that is awful, do we have the content of character to walk away? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I think you've touched on the one thing in America we've all really given our freedom up to is to debt. You know, Dave Ramsey, I think, is one of the best freedom fighters in America when he frees people of debt.
True. Yes. Yes.
Because
I agree.
The whole aspect of putting things in front of people comes from having debt more important than my day-to-day. You know, I will give up freedoms if I can get this.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Thank you. It's a great point. What if the NSA didn't show up for the job?
Yeah.
They can't. They can't do what's required to do if the NSA doesn't show up. If they say, I'm sorry, you guys have crossed the line. I'm spying on every average American citizen. Yeah. We are not going to return until we stop that practice. They could not do it. No. The men sitting around, or the women, or whoever it is diabolical that says, we need to do this. You couldn't make it happen. What if they asked marshals to be inhumane to prisoners, and they decided not to be? And they said, I'm not going to throw that citizen in handcuffs down the stairs. They haven't even gone to trial yet. I'm not going to be inhumane. I don't need to be. Stop asking me to do that. What if they didn't show up and said, until you change what you're asking me to do, I will not violate somebody? What if they declared a war and no one showed? What if the federal prosecutors and state prosecutors who were asked to lie and violate our rights to get an insane, unfathomable 98% conviction rate, which is impossible to do unless you're going to lie to do it, what if they decided not to use those tactics anymore and they left the job and they said, too bad. I am not going to go prosecute and violate somebody's rights because I'm being asked to do these things. What if a neighbor was going to snitch on another neighbor because of an old car parked on their property and decided to just go talk to him instead? Wouldn't that be refreshing? Would you do something inhumane to somebody because they told you to? Why? You don't have to. Where is the content of our character? Where is our faith in God to get us through a situation in which our mortgage, our precious mortgage and car payment would be subject to the equivalent of our character? When do we say no? And are we going to exercise enough faith to get through that situation? Because I think that's truly what's lacking in America. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
The 2018 Lincoln Continental is one drive you're sure to remember. With standard dynamic torque vectoring, all-wheel drive, and up to 400 horsepower. How about Lincoln Continental's lane-keeping system, blind spot detection, adaptive cruise control, and multi-contour seating? It's a drive you'll remember and one you'll wish to repeat. Right now, up to $12,000 in total savings from MSRP of $47,185. At Ken Garf St. George Ford Lincoln, we hear you. In stock only financing through Lincoln AFS OAC. See dealer for details.
Summer is just around the corner, and it would be nice to get your yard just how you've dreamed it would be. Beat the heat. Get a free design session today from Stuart Awning or the Barbecue Hut of St. George. One of their design professionals will come out for a free estimate and help you plan your dream yard. Summer's coming, so don't wait. Discover how Stuart Awning and the Barbecue Hut of St. George can convert any backyard into your favorite place to relax and enjoy family and friends. Call Stuart Awning and the Barbecue Hut of St. George today.
John Gibson, digging up history. It was the mid-1800s. The man was a prison reformer and an ardent abolitionist, and he sponsored an expedition to the Arctic. Yet he is remembered for something else entirely. That story after this. Want to get back that full head of hair you once had? Now you can do something about hair loss with Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to help you return to a full-bodied head of hair. Reveal for men and women, too, for all types of hair. 30-day money-back guarantee. Get yours at johngibson.com. That's Reveal for hair at johngibson.com. Click on the Juness button on the right. JohnGibson.com, Juness. William Parker Folk was a Renaissance man. He championed prison reform at a time when it was desperately needed. He was an ardent abolitionist and fought against slavery his entire life. He was also a sponsor of a musical academy and helped launch an expedition to the Arctic. And how is William Parker Folk remembered? Well, acting on a tip, he went to a field in New Jersey and started digging. Eventually, he found the complete skeleton of a dinosaur, the first dinosaur to be found in North America, and named Hadrosaurus folcus, or Folk's Big Lizard. I'm John Gibson, digging up history. John Gibson, digging up history. Frank Zappa was playing a casino. An enthusiastic fan fired a flare and caught the casino on fire. That led to a hit. Not Zappa's. Which one after this? Want to get back that full head of hair you once had? Now you can do something about hair loss with Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to help you return to a full-bodied head of hair. Reveal for men and women, too, for all types of hair. 30-day money-back guarantee. Get yours at johngibson.com. That's Reveal for hair at johngibson.com. Click on the Juness button on the right. johngibson.com, Juness. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention were playing a casino in Montreux, Switzerland, before 3,000 fans. One of those fans started a fire. The casino was engulfed in flames and burned to the ground. Across Lake Geneva, another band watched the fire burn, greatly pained at the sight. That band was supposed to record a live album at that casino the next night. They'd even brought in the Rolling Stones' mobile studio. The plans for the recording went up in smoke. Bass player Roger Glover had a dream about the fire, which led to a song. The band was Deep Purple, and the song, born of the fire, was Smoke on the Water. I'm John Gibson, digging up history.
She was born in a humble shack amidst the lemon groves of Goleta, California.
Mommy, don't cry. You know what they say?
When life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
I was going to say life sucks, and then you die. But I like yours better.
And with that, Alexandra Johnson launched her lemonade stand.
Lemonade, nickel a glass.
Every day, even during the frigid California winters, a bone-chilling 72 degrees, you could find her.
You can have it sour, you can have it sweet. Little girl's lemonade will knock you off your feet.
The little girl with the sour brew wanted more. National distribution franchises, and so she rolled out a well-budgeted advertising campaign.
Me and the rest of the dock workers only drink little girl lemonade.
She was made president of the International Sour Drink Association and chosen to give the keynote speech at their convention.
You all set with words of wisdom, honey?
You know what they say, Mommy.
Always advertise so consumers think of your product first.
I was gonna say never swallow a lemon seed or a watermelon to go in your tummy.
This fabricated but interesting story is to remind you that it's called advertising and it works. A message from the Radio Advertising Bureau, this radio station, and produced by the famous Radio Ranch.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
You know, know I had to lighten it up. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. It's a heavy subject, but I do think one worthy of talking about again and again and again, because I do think it's one of our core issues. One of our core issues is how we, what we're willing to trade to do harm. And there are so many people that are cogs in the wheel. Now, I know that compartmentalization goes on, and that people only know the part of their role, and they might not know the greater part of what's going on or the big picture. I think that we were given gut feelings and understandings of things where we know something's off enough to say, I don't know, something feels wrong here. And I hope we always follow that intuition. I try to. I'm not always stellar at it, but I try. And I think that is literally why we're given those feelings, to say, I might not know what's going on here, but I think I'm part of something that might not be okay to my fellow man. There's something very wrong here. And I think as we learn to speak up, you know, if the teachers that are teaching know that what they're teaching is sometimes garbage, what if they stopped teaching? What if they walked out? If enough teachers walked out, do you think we'd see changes? As people willingly go along, going, oh, I'll take the bad with the good, we don't ever see a change, ever. So if we had talking head newscasters that were reading the script in front of them that said, I know that this isn't right. Wait a minute. There's something off with this. Why am I reading this? I don't agree with this. Maybe they're stupid enough to agree with it. I don't know. But some of them, I'm going to have to say, I'd put in that department. Yeah. Bobblehead. What do I say next? I'm pretty. So my teeth look great. So they read the script and then they don't walk off and say, that script was really biased and tainted. I'm not giving the news here, folks. I'm reading something that's pretty, this is, something's not right. What if they walked off the set? Would you start to see changes? Yeah, I do think you would. What if a journalist was asked to regurgitate a factually inaccurate, biased article and decided to go hunt down the truth instead and write about that? If enough did that, we would see that we could change the trajectory of our nation. But enough of us aren't doing that individually. So We are the people in this country. We are the cog in the wheel that drives the train of corruption. Those that sit in the offices that decide from the higher up, bigger picture what's going to happen, the diabolical plans that are hatched, can only be carried out with you and I. They can only go somewhere with you and I. Yeah. Without us to carry it out, they can't do a darn thing. They can only sit there and pretend that their ideas are working if we don't carry them out. So we are driving the train of corruption. We, not them. They can decide all they want. Now, I realize we're subject to laws. I get this. We're subject to the laws that it took a slew of people to get through. So I understand that a lot of people actually profit from this corruption. They like it, they want it, and there's a lot of people that will participate for those reasons. But I do think that there is enough of humankind, mankind in America, there is enough percentage of good people that if given a little dose of courage and a little understanding could actually say no, then a lot of those bad plans could not come to fruition. That we would actually be a nation driven by the power of the people if we could do that. And I'm talking good people, not just people. Because yeah. Some people out there are pretty screwed up. And I don't want it just the power of the people. I want power of good people, moral people, people that understand the principles of morality. And I'm not talking about what you hear from the pulpit as much as I'm talking about the principles of morality in against humankind, for humankind. Yes. Where are we driving that train? So I bring up the Milgram experiment because wasn't that an experiment? Wow. 1963 examined justifications for acts of genocide offered by those accused in World War II, Nuremberg war criminal trials. Their defense was based on obedience, loyalty. Loyalty and obedience. That they were following orders from their superiors, which made themselves completely not responsible for any action they took. What would have happened had they said no? Hitler couldn't have done it all. He certainly could have carried out a few, but not all, right?
Yeah.
So it took all of those people being obedient in their job, even though they knew they were killing somebody. And I'm going to grant that a lot there might have been a lot of these people in this position that wanted to.
Yeah.
But we have to also look and I think make decisions now about who we're going to be and what is worth the content of your character, our character. And as those experiments, wasn't that the most interesting, Susan, that experiment, yeah. Milgram?
Yeah, that people are willing to just give each other, hurt each other. And,
yes.
And for incentivized reasons.
Yep.
And I just think that people, it's a courage issue. I can understand that, you know, people in wartime, they think, well, if I don't go along with this, I'll be court-martialed and shot. I mean, that's actually a powerful reason, but the courage to stand up in the face of having to pay a huge price. Mm-hmm. I've always thought about the fact is, how do we develop the courage? Because day to day, we don't have to have a lot of courage to just go about our daily lives. So how does that develop?
Right.
And I think unless you study people who have had to pay a price, and religious people in history have had to do that.
Yes. Back in Nazi Germany, remember them stood up and
they
were
willing to pay a price.
They were
a lot of resistance fighters
because they said that was worth my content of character.
Bless their hearts, right?
And what a great
give it all because I think you're idealistic when you're that age and you're willing to say, if not now, when? And I don't want to live like this.
Right.
It's not supposed to be like this. They have that idealism.
I agree. This Milgram experiment wanted to investigate whether Germans were particularly obedient to authority figures, as this was sort of a common explanation for the Nazi killings. They were particularly obedient, whatever that means. And he selected the participants for his experiment by newspaper advertising for male participants to take part of a study of learning at Yale. And the procedure was that the participant was paired with another person and they drew lots to find out who would be the learner, who would be the teacher. And then the draw was fixed so that the participant was always the teacher and the learner was Milgram's Confederates pretending to be a real participant. And so this went on where the people in power, they became obedient. They were told what to do.
Yeah.
And they exercised that power over without any accountability. There was no personal responsibility for what they were doing, right?
They could tell, they said, well, that's what I was told to do. And what's even ironic about that is they were volunteers in the first place. This wasn't their life on the line, and they were still willing to do this.
Yeah. And, you have this study that the administering of electrical shocks, the amping it up when you don't think that you would do that or participate in that or be part of something diabolical, yet there is the want to be part of the group.
Yeah.
There is the groupthink mentality that we get swept up into. I'll never forget the one where they had a chime go off, and so they had the person that was embedded in a group stand up every time the chime went off.
Yeah.
And then people would walk into the office building and they were all waiting for an appointment and they started standing up whenever the person stood up.
Just conditioned
to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
do we question our conditioning? And so there was like one person that went in and said, why are we doing that?
Yeah, excuse me, I'm not going to
stand because a bell goes off. What am I, Pavlov? And so there was one person that questioned, but all the rest went along. And if we, I think as a society, can start saying, I'm sorry. A lot of whistleblowers come out, and God bless the whistleblowers. They will come out and say, I started being part of this and I realized how bad it was and I decided to say no.
Yeah.
There was a group of like five NSA people that said, I'm sorry, we cannot do this. Mm-hmm. And their homes were ransacked and they went through a whole lot of stuff and they were taken in. But they said, we can't be part of something like this. This isn't okay.
Yeah.
A lot of whistleblowers, which I always have on the show because they're the ones with that courage. And even when one whistleblower starts to say no, others will follow.
Right. The truth
in a good
tellers.
Way.
The truth tellers.
Right?
Yes.
It's very interesting. Let's take a call. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, you're making a very good point. We've got to stand up for what's right. As those Jews, or as those Germans said at Nuremberg, we were just following orders when we loaded the Jews on the cow car.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about courage. What about the courage of the voters? Because we still have the vote in this country. We're still voting for those people that gave us the NSA. the TSA groping. We're still putting them in power and backing them. We've got to stop the groupthink with those candidates. Trump could have ended the TSA in 1 second, just veto that bill, the budget bill that had that in it, but he didn't.
But we also need a Congress, too. We're short on time, but we also need a Congress, too, who's willing to do it. It's not always on Trump's shoulders. Yep. Everything in this world is not Trump's fault, and it's not because Trump is our savior. It's because we need to look at Congress and say, these people we put into office, there's a such thing as term limits, and you can get them out and stop. They'll find something else they're good at. Yeah. Maybe they're good at another job, but they're not good in being safeguarding our liberty. And it's okay to say that. You don't owe them this job.
No.
And the job isn't so hard that they need 10 terms to figure out how to do it.
No.
And if they do, maybe they're lacking IQ and they need a job. I don't know. Doing something really lame. I don't know. But we have to get them out. We have term limits. It's called elections.
Yeah. Find a purpose and stop being a finger pointer, because they get very good at pointing the fingers at each other and blaming each other for why they can't do their job.
Yeah.
And nobody accepts that in a regular job.
Yeah.
You don't point the finger and say, I couldn't do my job.
Right. And to always go to Trump as the, you know, whatever we talk about is Trump, Trump, Trump. You know what? Trump, he hasn't done anything about education. No, we don't have a wall yet. No, he signed the North American Union. Yes, there's still 1,000 troops in Syria. Yes, there's things I don't agree with, but I didn't expect him. I'm not putting all my faith in Trump or against Trump. Why is anyone doing that?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. No. Congress is your closest vehicle to look at, and the vehicle most responsible. Look at them. And also, it doesn't mean don't look at Trump. It's just that, man, we're putting a lot of emphasis either way on that.
How convenient for them.
It's ridiculous.
It's a scapegoating thing.
And honestly, it isn't even Congress as much as it is us.
Right.
We drive the train of corruption. We are part of the cogs in the wheel. We're just doing our job, whatever that piece is. It takes all of us to carry out those plans. They can't do it on their own.
No. And they know that.
And they know it.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. And if we don't start as a people saying, my character isn't worth my mortgage payment, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you know what that would do in teaching our kids what is important and what isn't? Do you realize that our kids watch us, your grandkids watch you, and they see what your character is worth all the time? And if we're teaching them that we're willing to do something unconstitutional against our fellow man because of the mortgage, aren't they going to do it too?
Of course.
We're training up a generation that says, well, it's just your part of the job. Other people are doing it. It's okay. Don't, you know, what about the kid that says, man, my dad decided to walk out of his job and say, no, on principle, I'm not doing that. And on principle, I'm out of here. And you know what? If no one else leaves, it's okay. I'll stand alone. What is that kid going to grow up to be? He's going to be amazing. He's going to be amazing because he just watched his parent do something that was so exciting and so unique and so relative right now and so
extraordinary.
What if also that kid saw his parent down on their knees praying for faith to get their family through that while it was happening?
Astonishing. Amazing.
You're raising a generation that sees you sacrifice and then sees you on your knees praying for that sacrifice. You're telling me that you're not going to raise kids that are going to do the same? Of course they are. Of course they are. If we don't start thinking in those terms, we're screwed. We're completely screwed as a nation, because your neighbor will go up against you. Somebody will say it's their job and they'll do something diabolical against you. And then they'll try and repent later. They'll try and say, well, I'm sorry. It was just my job. I'm so sorry. If you're a code enforcement officer and you're peeking over the fence, stop it. If you're a federal prosecutor and you're getting 98% of your cases by lying, stop it.
Yeah.
Walk out.
Yeah.
We will applaud you. People will applaud you. And you'll get other people to do the same. And you know who will applaud you the most? Your children and grandchildren watching you do this and saying they had so much character. They were willing to do this in the face of adversity, knowing they might be the only one. They did it anyway. And God bless them. And I'm going to raise myself to be the exact same person they are. You want to raise a nation of great people, restore our morals? It's the only way we can do it. There is absolutely not one single doubt in my mind that is our only solution, is to look at ourselves, the part we play, what we're doing on a daily basis, and say, what is worth the content of my character? Be faithful, be fearless. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow.
There's always a moment of truth where I say, look, it's either put up or shut up. And it was time to put up. I had crossed that thin line. It was 100 plus degrees. We were hot. We were on fire. We were yelling our hearts out. You could feel the intensity rising. Even in our tiredness, even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I told myself, you can suck up the pain for another mile and a half, and you will be a Marine. Not many people believe that I could do it. I don't know where I got the energy from. I don't know where the pain went to. But all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
AFC Darrell Willis proved he could be one of us. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES. Maybe you could be one of the few and the proud.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George. 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS HD4, Leeds.